Hello, and welcome to the Divorced Dadvocate, divorce support for dads, where we help dads create a healthy and less traumatic divorce. My name is Jude Sandoval, and I'm your host. I created this podcast and the Divorced Dadvocate community as a result of my own high conflict divorce, and because you as a dad deserve all the resources necessary to thrive through this challenging time. I encourage you to check out our website at thedivorcedadvocate.com, where there are resources that correspond to this episode, as well as free access to our membership community, where you will find live meetings, free workshops and courses, private discussion groups, and more. And now, on to this week's episode.
Hello and welcome to the show. I am thrilled that you are here again this week. And if this is your first time listening, thanks for tuning in. This week is going to be a little bit short and sweet, but the topic, understanding your role in relationship dynamics for success post-divorce, is basically born out of a lot of conversations I've been having over the past couple of weeks regarding basically our part in the dynamic that was part of our marriage or relationship that we need to take accountability for in order to understand how to go forward and not repeat or perpetuate that exact dynamic post-divorce. But before we jump into this in more detail, let me welcome Sean, Mark, and another Mark to the Divorced Dadvocate community. If you're not part of the community yet, check it out at thedivorcedadvocate.com. There's two D's in there, divorced and dadvocate, thedivorcedadvocate.com. Just Google it and you'll find the website. There are all kinds of resources, no matter what stage you're at in your divorce or what financial situation you're at. There's are free resources like the divorce quiz that will help you to understand where you're at in your divorce compared to others who have gone through it. That's a great tool. And there's also the membership site with a myriad more resources, including the app that has over 50 different opportunities and courses for you to utilize in helping to move on and get things going post-divorce. So check that all out at thedivorcedadvocate.com. Also, if you have listened to this podcast before and you found value in it, please do us an immense favor and give us a star rating or pause right now and actually leave some comments on whatever podcast platform or whatever platform you might be watching us on. It really, really helps for other dads to look at and determine whether they want to jump in and listen so that they can get the value that they deserve and get the help and support that they deserve. Okay, on to our topic, understanding your role in relational and relationship dynamics for success post-divorce. And so as you know, as a divorced dad, navigating this aftermath of the ending or the end of your marriage can feel like traversing uncharted waters, and hopefully it is, because if we're smart, hopefully we haven't done this more than one time in getting a divorce. So amidst the challenges and heartache, though, lies an invaluable opportunity for growth and self-reflection, as many of the guys in our group meetings call it, life 2.0. And one of the most crucial aspects of this journey is understanding your role in the relational dynamics that led to the breakdown of your marriage. And by acknowledging and learning from these dynamics, you pave the way for healthier co-parenting as well as personal growth. So I'm going to go through 10 key points to consider in understanding your role in the relational dynamics of your marriage. The first is, and it seems pretty straightforward, self-reflection. Take the time to introspect and identify patterns of behavior or communication styles that contributed to the marital discord. So that can be a myriad of different things, right? It could be relational dynamics, for instance, a codependent dynamic that developed where one partner excessively relied on the other for validation and emotional support, leading to resentment and imbalance. It could be an unhealthy type of attachment where one person was was attached in one style, another was attached in another style. It could be an incompatible and unhealthy way in which the you communicated with each other or dealt with conflict. Maybe somebody withdrew during conflict. Maybe one of the partners or the spouses would engage. So there are a myriad of different ways that or a myriad of different things that were potentially causes, if you will, or led to, and it's probably more than one, to the demise of your marriage. But taking that time to self-reflect is going to be critical. That is a number one, self-reflection. The second one is ownership of actions, okay? So here's the thing. We often get into, and we hear this, I hear this often in our group meetings, and this is completely off base, but hear this in dating and when I'm dating somebody, and this is a telltale red flag if somebody does not take the accountability for their part in the demise of a relationship or a marriage. So if you ask somebody, well, what was the downfall of your last relationship, and they have no role in it, then that's a pretty big red flag. But I digress. Accepting responsibility for your role in the relationship dynamics is absolutely pivotal. And so this could involve acknowledging instances where you may have enabled, like I said, codependency by prioritizing your partner's needs over your own, or by avoiding conflict to maintain a false sense of harmony. Whatever it may have been, own whatever those actions are. And again, there's going to be a dynamic, and a dynamic takes two people to, there's the adage, it takes two people to tango, right? Two people to dance. It takes two people to have a dynamic. So in one is not better than the other. That is the thing. And the next one I'm going to talk about is having empathy towards your ex-spouse. And I think an episode earlier on where I talked to Jason Matthews, who is a self-professed recovering narcissist, talks about this in specific detail about understanding and having empathy towards your ex-spouse, because by cultivating empathy and considering your ex-spouse's perspective and experiences, you're able to recognize that they also played a part in the relationship dynamic and understanding their struggles. And what this will do is it helps to foster compassion and cooperation in your co-parenting. And this is even if the person, has conducted egregious behavior, because again, there is a dynamic. Even if codependency is not necessarily better than narcissism, narcissism isn't worse. Borderline personality disorder, like whatever it might be, whatever the dynamic is, we've all played a part in it. And when we got married and when we accepted it and when we perpetuated it, then we were all part of it. So none of us were victims in any of this. We were all part of a relational dynamic that we continued to perpetuate until one or the other of us, or maybe you decided together to stop it and get a divorce so that you will stop the dynamic. Now, the key that you want to make sure is that you are stopping this dynamic. You're not carrying this forward post-divorce. So that's why the self-reflection, the ownership of your actions, and then trying to understand the other part and having empathy towards your ex-spouse about it. And I'll use the example of my ex-spouse, who I believe has significant mental, emotional issues and maybe personality disorders, but I cannot even imagine what it would be like to have to be in her shoes. And I've had other relationships since then where I've been able to cultivate this empathy by being able to understand in more detail the difficulties and struggles somebody else runs into, and also how I'm potentially attracted to a specific type of person and some of this dynamic that is ongoing, if you will, in my life. So understanding that, reflecting on it, taking ownership, and then just trying to have some empathy and recognition of what the other part of that relational dynamic is will help you immensely. The next is communication skills. Improve your communication skills to break free from these patterns. This could involve setting clear boundaries. Now, the boundary thing is a very important one for codependents like myself, as well as expressing your needs and feelings assertively rather than resorting to passive-aggressive behavior or withdrawal. If you're on the other end of the spectrum and maybe you're an overtaker and you don't have empathy, then that might look differently, which is trying to have a more empathetic outlook and trying to try to give more than you are taking. Maybe if your dynamic is that you are insecurely attached, learning to have a better attachment a profile or a better attachment style that will help you to be able to have a healthy relationship. If that is also potentially that you disengage when there is some conflict, maybe you need to be more assertive in your communication when you are feeling like you need to withdraw. So a lot of this, and we're going to get into how to be able to figure some of this out by seeking support, but a lot of this you'll figure out in doing some of the self-reflection, but some of it also is going to come in having future relations. And that's just not romantic relations, just being able to pay attention to what your relationships are, maybe with your kids, with your coworkers, with your friends, et cetera. You're going to see all of these tendencies that are being exacerbated and being basically in your face right now during the ending of your marriage. You're going to see that they do show up in other areas of your life. The next is setting boundaries, which I just alluded to. Establish clear boundaries with your ex-spouse to break the cycle. This might include respecting each other's autonomy and fostering independence and decision-making, even in co-parenting matters. Now, hopefully you're able to co-parent. This might be in a situation where you're parallel parenting and you just simply have to have your boundaries of your environment that is going to happen in your house. And it may have never happened before, and you may have never been able to bring yourself to do that before because you were codependent or you were an overgiver or whatever it might be. And I'm using that example because that is the most pertinent example to myself. And honestly, I think a lot of you guys that are listening and a lot of guys that come to our group meetings that are conscientious, that do care, that are trying to figure things out, end up being codependent. I did an episode last week or the week before on learning how to not be a nice guy anymore. No more Mr. Nice Guy. Dr. Glover's book is basically talks about stop being codependent. Get a lot of guys that are in our group meetings that come to the community that are codependent, that are working through and trying to understand and learn how to set those boundaries, how to be assertive in communicating what their needs and what their wants are. So that's why I'm using that. But it could be just the opposite as well. You could be kind of just learning that you have not been in tune to things. You have not been empathetic. You have not been the person that should be stepping up in your relationship, leading the relationship and guiding it in the masculine nature that you should be as well. And that's part of codependency too, is one of those challenges. So I'm starting to digress. So I'm going to stop right there with that one around setting the boundaries. Number six is prioritizing the child's well-being. By redirecting focus towards the well-being of your child and by prioritizing their needs above any residual tendencies or conflicts with your ex-spouse, you create a nurturing environment for their growth and their development. So just make sure that while you are doing this, while you are doing this, putting their well-being at the forefront of your mind is important. Now, this doesn't mean that, again, as a codependent or as an overgiver or as a parent that might not have been looking out for what your needs and wants are, that you are going to prioritize that above your needs. That just means that you're prioritizing their well-being. And that's a big difference, prioritizing needs and prioritizing well-being. And that looks like you are not you are not taking care of yourself. You are not getting the sleep that you need, the exercise that you need, the social life you need, the spiritual development you need, the therapy that you need or coaching that you need, whatever it might be, because you are taking care of kids or putting their priorities first and their activities first or whatever that might be. It's just making sure that they have, that you are paying attention to their well-being, but not to the detriment of you being able to take care of them. That's the old, and you've heard me say it many times, that's the old oxygen mask analogy. You got to put your oxygen mask on first before you can put somebody else's on. You got to be taking care of yourself so that you can take care of their well-being. Number seven is seeking support. I said this a little bit earlier, but don't hesitate to seek support. Now, this can be from family. It can be from friends or a therapist or a coach. Just be careful in seeking support from family and friends, because not all advice is good advice, particularly from people that have a dog in the fight, if you will, or are close to you, or may be part of the reason why some of these relational tendencies are showing up. A lot of this stuff that becomes a relational tendency in our adult life is because of the relationships we had in our childhood with our family members. So perpetuating some of that can happen if particularly we're getting advice from the person that was contributing to that in our life. So just be careful with friends and family, because they're not trained and they might have a skewed perspective on that. Therapy can be good and a coach can be good, but really having all of that is probably the best. And breaking free from these patterns might require professional guidance and supportive network. I know that, unfortunately, I didn't have the resources and the means to do that. So for a long time, it was just me working on myself. But there's also resources out there like 12-step groups. Codependence Anonymous was transformational in my life. And there are church groups and support groups. And there's our Divorced Advocate community that helps as well. And I'll tell you what, if you get on one of our calls and we are all talking together in a respectful and kind way, we will talk about and we will point out each other's shortfalls and kind of a relational dynamics that we might have going on, and do it in a way where we're asking, have you considered this or have you considered that? And asking each other to really calling each other to our best selves, if you will. And it's a great, great way. And it's a great community that wants each other to have success post-divorce. So that's why we do it. It's important to have accountability and keep each other accountability and call each other on our BS. That's the way we do things as men. It's a little bit different than how women do it, but that's also why we have created a community to be able to support each other in doing that. So seek the support that you deserve. Number eight is forgiveness. Forgiveness is probably the number one thing that you will be able to do in order to heal yourself long-term. And there's actually now studies that are showing that forgiveness work has a transformational impact on actually how your brain works and your brain waves. So practice forgiveness towards yourself too. Like, that's number one, forgiveness towards yourself and your ex-spouse for any enabling behaviors, because holding on to resentment and guilt only perpetuates negative relationship dynamics, hindering your ability to move forward constructively. There's all kinds out there. And some earlier episodes, I talk about some of those specific ways that you can do it. Ho'oponopono is one as well. And there's a myriad of other forgiveness techniques and work that you can do. But when you're ready, when you've gone through some of the grieving stages and you're ready to work on that, I promise you that will be the most transformational thing that you can possibly go through. And it's going to help lead you to more healthy relationships, romantic relationships, but also relationships in all of your life with your kids, coworkers, et cetera, because that negativity and negative feelings and thoughts just build up and stay in your body. Number 10, flexibility and adaptability. Be open to adapting to changing circumstances and adjusting your co-parenting approach as needed. Flexibility allows for healthier boundaries and promotes independence. Fellas, I'll just tell you now, you're just going to have to adopt this for the short term in post-divorce, because you just have no idea, as much as you might want to plan it out. And even in the most amicable divorces, post-divorce is a fluid time where you're going to have to maybe do some trial and some error. You're not going to know exactly what works and doesn't work. Even if you're communicating incredibly well and you're co-parenting incredibly well, it is going to require flexibility and adaptability. For those of us who are in high conflict, it's going to take even more. And in high conflict, it's going to take literally sometimes having to just let go. Let go and let God, because I'm a believer, and we just don't know what is going to happen or how it is going to happen, but we just need to let it happen. So being flexible and adaptable and just letting go and being able to roll with the punches will be very, very beneficial, other than the opposite of getting stressed out and worked up and keeping this stuff on your mind, losing sleep about it, whatever it might be. Now, that's a hard one. We've talked earlier in episodes about figuring out ways to work through some of this by journaling, meditation, exercise, whatever it might be, but do what you need to do. Take care of yourself and do the self-care you need to in order to be able to roll with those punches, particularly in the short-term post-divorce. Okay, and finally, modeling healthy relationships. This is our ultimate goal, is to get to that post-divorce, whether it's with our ex or in a new romantic relationship or just in our life in general with all of our relationships. Recognize that your behavior serves as a model for your child's understanding of relationships. Now, that's a big one. That's a big realization. If you haven't figured it out yet, guys, it is important. By demonstrating boundaries, by demonstrating self-care, by demonstrating mutual respect with your ex-spouse, with others, you teach valuable lessons about healthy interdependence and individual autonomy. Fellas, they learn from us by watching us more than anything else that we can ever say to them. So we are always modeling for them. And that was a big wake-up call for me. And hopefully it is for you. But there's no better way that we can teach them by modeling healthy behavior, healthy relationships. So the sooner that you get to work on this, sooner you get to work on learning and understanding your role in the relational dynamics for success post-divorce, the better. So learning and understanding your role is essential for fostering those healthy co-parenting relationships and personal growth as a single dad. And by embarking on the journey of self-discovery and reflection, you not only pave the way for a more harmonious co-parenting relationship, but also lay the foundation for building healthier future relationships, both with your child, your children, and others in your life. Guys, there is no more powerful example for your children than getting through one of the most difficult and challenging things that anybody will experience in life, such as divorce, and doing it in a manner in which your children can look at and look back on and say, wow, my dad did an amazing job. They won't realize it now. They won't recognize it now, even if they're older. And older, I mean, they could be teens or they could be early adults. But until they are able to have the perspective of looking back and seeing and understanding how you went through this and how you did it with grace, and with helping them and by modeling for them a positive way in doing that, there's no better example. There's no better way that you can help them to have healthy relationships going forward and help them to see and know and understand that no matter what difficulties or life challenges there are, that you can get through it and you can do it in a positive way. And I know if you're listening to this right now, that that's something that interests you because you care about your relationships, and you care about getting through this difficult and challenging time in a best possible way. I hope you found some value in those relational or those tips, key points on trying to understand your role in relational dynamics for success post-divorce. If you did, please share it far and wide. Share it with another divorced or divorcing dad. It will change his life. Give him the opportunity to get the support that he deserves. And I sincerely appreciate you listening to me again this week. Have a terrific week and God bless.
To hear the rest of this episode and access the corresponding resources, visit thedivorcedadvocate.com and become a member of our community. It's free to join and will provide you with the resources you deserve as a divorced or divorcing dad. Thank you for listening. God bless, and I'll talk with you next week.